Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Nerd!
Welcome back, everybody, to the Salty Nerd Podcast. Today, we are talking Season 1, Episodes 9 and 10 of our favorite TV show on TV right now, Warrior. We're discussing the penultimate episode and also the...
ultimate episode.
The ultimate, yes. The penultimate and the ultimate.
The season finale.
Season finale. Ooh. Very much looking forward to discussing this show with you guys. I'm glad to have gotten through Season 1. I can't wait to start with Season 2 coming up very soon. I'm joined, as always, by my fantastic panel of nerds. Matt Vader's here. What's up, dude?
He said the word already.
The penultimate? Yeah. Oh, I just said it too. God dang it.
You just said it again.
Mm.
Jesus, dude.
Sorry. So, I don't know if some
wait
of you...
Wait till I'm drinking something good.
Yeah, I know. So, I'm really sorry about that. I don't know why you're drinking a White Claw.
Peter accidentally grabbed a White Claw this morning.
It's an absurd drink to have for you.
I grabbed it out of the fridge. And
What's wrong with White Claw?
They're a woman's drink.
Oh, fuck
yeah, they are. They're kind of, you know, so.
Speaking of women.
I like White Claw.
Judas also.
Do we have to gender all of the beverages?
Yeah, I mean, come on. The market is there. I mean, you watch the commercials. You know who they're targeting. I do have a lot of guy friends that love White Claw, so I don't know.
I hate them.
I'm just really happy that crappy beer is going to where it belongs now.
Obscurity?
Yeah.
Because now we have this replacement.
But like. Kind of is bad beer anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, I like Zima and wine coolers, too.
God, you are a sweet summer child.
You are a very special person.
Kadish is also joining us.
Hi, everyone. I'm really excited to talk about the season finale of this show. Like, the penultimate episode is probably one of the best of the season. And also, the finale leaves a lot of open questions that season two will hopefully answer. So
yeah, that was one of the things I wanted to talk to you guys about today was how interesting it was for me to have like this, I'm not going to say it again, but the episode before the finale is more of the action-packed one. Uh-huh. And then the actual finale episode is kind of like a lull after the storm.
It's all set up.
Although there's a fight in the finale that
of course
I've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it didn't disappoint.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't go on long enough, in my opinion. But it was
that's
it
what
was
everybody...
Cool.
It felt like
she said.
Yeah.
It felt like a tease.
Is that the whole Superman punch thing?
Yeah.
Oh, Superman punch.
Right through the freaking... Yes. We'll talk about that in a minute.
We'll get there.
All right. First of all, I would just like to thank and also welcome our new watchers. We've been seeing some comments on some of our Warrior episodes of people saying, oh, my God, thank God somebody's covering this show. So welcome. Thank you, guys. We're so happy to see you. Welcome to the community. Don't forget to head over to saltynerddiscord.com and join up over there. You can contact us directly and we can talk about this show one on one. Thank you so much for your support. Really appreciate it. Stay tuned because season two is coming up next for the podcast. And then in June 29th. The season 3 premiere comes out. So we will be covering all of that stuff episode by episode. All right. Without further ado, let's get into episode 9 of Warrior season 1. Take it away, Jude.
All right, sir. Warrior season 1, episode 9, Chinese boxing. Big Dick and Big Bill come upon an underground arena in Chinatown and help themselves to some street food as they look around wondering what the fuck is going on and where did this underground arena come from? When Li Yong and Assam enter the ring, the entire Chinatown squad has some beers and watches the fight. Just as Li Yong is about to break Assam's neck, Bill fires his weapon, breaking up the fight, and Assam is left to die. A toy takes him back to her brothel to heal him and tells him the reason he lost is because he was fighting without purpose. Penny's dad gets the railway project started, but Buckley undercuts him with cheap Chinese labor in order to start a war between the Irish and Chinese workers. And as Bill and Lee part ways for the night, the Feng Hai send a message through Lee that leaves him in the hospital.
They beat up Big Dick. That's a weird, that's a weird thing to say.
They beat their dick.
They beat Big Dick.
I mean.
Would you beat Big Dick?
Who hasn't beaten a dick?
Why are you guys so dirty today?
Vader beat a dick early this morning.
On his way here.
No, I did not.
You had to get a correction.
Doesn't Vader look like a collector for the fun guys?
Kind of does, yeah.
Yeah,
we need some face tattoos.
Yeah.
Anyway, this...
I gotta chug some booze.
I mean...
He's drinking a White Claw now. All of a sudden, he's like, why are you guys picking on me? Yeah.
Sensitive today.
He said, total White Claw. He went bitch mode. Oh, no.
How's that estrogen taste over there, Vader?
My nipples are very sensitive.
Oh, my God. We are not sponsored by White Claw.
He did make me brush his hair today.
It's true. And he did beard stuff, right? You braided your beard?
Got some beard braids.
Nice. Here, yeah.
I want to start off talking about the big boxing match in this episode. So the episode's called Chinese Boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off with this big match between Li Yong and an Awesome. And it was really surprising to see like how they structured this fight, because basically Awesome gets his ass kicked and Li Yong shows just how much of a badass he is. Like there's a point where it looks like Awesome's won.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Li Yong like freaking wakes up, flips onto his feet, and is like, dude, no.
Yeah, like, he's straight up like Frankensteins it. Like, he's flat on his back, out cold.
He was Undertaker's it.
Yeah, he does.
I was making comments in our chat. I was like, man, this is unexpected. I did not expect him to like lay down and
almost get his lose, ass kicked. Right? Yeah, yeah.
I figured maybe he was like trying to like take one for the dude's sister.
Really? No.
My Ling,
yeah. You
know. And how about how she was like, yeah, kill him.
Listen, she's a savage.
She is.
But even more, I don't know who the costume designer for the show is, but
God
every time,
damn, her freaking outfit. Amazing.
Dude, that outfit that her,
and
she
a
has.
Toy?
A toy's amazing. She's always gorgeous. But Assam's sister, what was her name?
Mei Ling.
She wore a dress. I don't know if it was at the fight or if it was like after the fight, but she wore it. Straight up looked like dragon scales. It was like black leather with the scales on it. I was like, God, that's a freaking dope outfit.
So it's kind of funny because like the way that this is set up, it almost looks like the arena from Kickboxer, except minus the big snake statues.
Wait, hold on. Was I the only? Oh yeah. Was
Kumite.
I the only one doing that during the fight? Kumite, Bloodsport.
But okay, USA.
But Big Bill and Big Dick are walking down Chinatown, and like no one's there. Like,
yeah, they're like, where is everyone?
Yeah, yeah, and basically, like, they follow, like, some rando down to, like, the big boxing arena, and they're like, what the fuck is this place?
Yeah,
we've
like,
never seen this
like,
before.
Did you know this was here? No, nah, man. Nah.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah, and Big Dick gets, like, a bag of, like popcorn or something like that, and he's like eating it.
Bill's betting on the fucking on the fight. Chow walks over and he's
all
like,
"The patrolmen are doing shots."
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's funny because Bill walks up to him. He's like, "What are you doing here?" And they're like, "Oh, you know, we just kind of follow the crowd,
watching the fight."
And he looks at me and he goes, "I need you to stay sharp." And the dude immediately goes, "Okay, boss." And he takes a shot.
Yep.
Shows how seriously they take their beat.
Well, it depends on what you drink. Whiskey keeps you sharp.
Sure.
but it's funny because both of them are like. You know, Bill's like, why aren't you guys on the beat? And they're like, everyone's here.
Yeah, this is the beat, buddy.
Yeah.
But it's also funny because like when the match starts, like Bill's watching this thing and he recognizes Awesome from like the jail cell. And so like he bets on him.
Uh-huh.
Of course, Bill's terrible at betting.
They're like, hey, is that John Chinaman? And John Chinaman?
but Bill's like, you know, like...
Put five bills on the tall one, yeah.
But
yeah.
He makes a comment where he's like, if they can all fight like this, we're fucked.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Absolutely. It was a dope fight. I love the choreography for this one was really,
just,
really
just
good.
Just needed a Van Damme in it.
Oh,
perfect, right?
Man, so many Van Damme references.
They needed someone to like throw sand in his face and him to go,
They even had the sash and everything.
Yeah.
Before we move on, I have to remind everybody and let everybody know that's watching. We have a special message from the showrunner of the show that I'm going to read at the end of our episode 10 recap because it's quite hilarious.
Oh, great.
And I can't wait to share it with you guys.
Yeah, but so like this boxing scene is the highlight of the episode
for sure
much, because not only is the choreography great and there's like some like serious drama to it, but we see like all the main characters kind of coalesce around this. Like Penelope gets informed by Jacob that this is going on, so mm-hmm. she rushes down here. We got Mei Ling, we got Father June, we got Young June. Basically everyone's here, and we finally like they teased the showdown between these two fighters in like the first episode,
mm-hmm.
but they never really got into mm-hmm. it. And this fight's to the death.
Right.
So like basically Li Yong, is that his name? Mm-hmm. So he goes into this, he's fighting for his lover and his boss, Mai Ling. And so like he's like super motivated. And we've seen like the last episode, these guys were training really hardcore.
Yeah.
And Awesome is just showing up and he's just kind of like, yeah, whatever. And at first it looks like it's going Awesome's way because like he Li Yong.
Yeah. When they were training, I mean they show Awesome doing his, you know, his stuff against the board, you know, yeah, his hands, everything.
I'm sure there's but a name for that.
And when they switch over to
Li Yong,
they're beating the crap out of him with 2x4.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. They're hitting him with sticks and shit. It was like straight on Bruce Wayne Batman stuff going on.
Gotta get tough.
I'm like, oh man,
Awesome's not gonna make it.
One of these guys is taking it a little more seriously than the other.
But it's cool. Like when the fight first starts, Awesome, he's doing some freaking Neo Matrix shit for a minute. Like every time he throws a punch, he just steps out of the way. He's on it, right? He's in there. And then once he thinks he wins, he's got him on the ground. He's about to reach for his thing, and then that guy Frankenstein's back to life.
Undertakers.
And then there's a great editing thing in this episode that has to do with this fight. So like, Li Yong lands a kick to the side of Awesome's head, and there's just a hint of a ring in the background with the audio, and you hear like me, and then that's the point where he loses the fight.
Yep. Yeah,
because after that you could tell like the sound is all messed up, and the ring is there.
And then when he takes that shot to the chest, yeah.
But there's also a shot where basically Li Yong punches Awesome in the face, and you see his nose break.
It's so brutal.
Oh shit! Yeah.
Yeah, remember that slow motion shot? His face like smushes back.
His face like. Like crash test dummies.
Yes, it does. That was a hard punch.
Yeah, and they cut away to like Father June, and you can just tell like he's like, oh, this is over.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, Li Yong turns to Mai Ling, and it's the Emperor like thing where it's like
the thumbs up, thumbs down,
thumbs up, thumbs down.
Gives him the nod.
Yeah, she gives him the nod, and you know before the fight started, like Li Yong even said to her, he's like, you know, one of us isn't walking out of that ring. She's like, I know. And so once it looks like Li Yong is about to break Awesome's neck, Penelope's in the audience, and she screams. And as soon as Big Bill hears that, Big Dick is like, oh, he's going to kill that guy.
Yeah.
And so nobody knows what to do except Big Bill. He just pulls out his gun and shoots it in the air, and then everyone scatters.
Like, Lee thinks he's going to hop onto the stage and, like, stop the fight or whatever, and Bill's just like, nah, dude, we're going to just shoots in the sky or whatever. But Penelope cracks me up in this episode because she's all like trying to be like mysterious under the hood. Meanwhile, she's wearing this bright freaking colored hood that's got like spedangled.
With her bright blonde finger waves sticking out of it.
I'm like, lady, you are not hiding from anybody.
Yeah. You are the only duck lady here.
Yeah.
And we all see you.
Yeah.
I kind of have a little bit of an issue with her being there. It just doesn't seem like. First off, it doesn't seem like she would even be permitted to have gone down there by whoever's.
Well, she got there after the fight already started.
But I guess there wasn't exactly like
they don't have bouncers,
doormen and bouncers.
They're not taking tickets.
It just seemed like she's trying to keep her relationship secret and everything, but she's not doing a very good job.
Well, that's the joke. Is she's so bad at hiding what she's doing there that she's
they even have that great scene where like Bill's like walking her home and he's like, this is no place for the mayor's wife, and she's like, there is no place for the mayor's wife. It's like, I'm so disrespected everywhere I go.
You know,
but another great part of this kind of opening sequence of the show is Hoon Lee, where he sees like Big Bill and Big Dick. And he's like, oh, I bring you a beer, like welcome to the show, you know. And he's just being what's his name, like Wang Chao?
Chao.
He's just being like so smarmy, like and you know, like he offers Bill a drink. He's like, I'm not drinking that piss. And he's like, more for me.
Yeah. I love every interaction he has with Lee, where he's talking shit about Lee, and he's like, oh, your friend, he talked too much, he asked too many questions.
He
pretends he's just like, oh, I am simple businessman, but like Chao is basically
he's on
running the city.
Yeah, and one of the things I love about how Hoon Lee delivers his performance is that like when he's like talking to like, you know, other Chinese, like he speaks English very well. But the minute that he's talking to like Bill and Lee, he's got like this broken English type thing,
yeah.
You know, where He's like, oh, white people murder white people too. You know?
Yeah, he tries to pass himself off as much simpler than he is.
But it's so subtle, and it's just a testament to how good of an actor Hoonley is.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's awesome every time.
I have a question about that though, because in the first couple episodes, they make a point of showing like when they're speaking Chinese, but they're really speaking English for our benefit, mm-hmm. versus when they're speaking English with English speaking characters in the show. The broken English thing, does Chow speak that broken English every time he talks to somebody who speaks English?
Yes, he does.
Okay, and then does he ever speak English to Chinese-speaking people in the show?
I don't think so.
Because Awesome speaks Chinese, too. So, like, when they're talking together and it's not broken and he doesn't have an accent, I think they're speaking Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, in this scene, when the announcer is in, he's, like, speaking English to the crowd, but then it cuts, like, Bill and Lee, and they're hearing, like, the Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, it's obvious that, like, you know, there's that weird translation Hunt for Red October thing going
on. Yeah.
I think they actually do it really brilliantly on this show.
Yeah, I do too.
And I haven't had any problems discerning when they're speaking.
Yeah. My perception
Chinese
of it
is kind of broken English, you know?
Yeah, it kind of goes against what Kadish just said, but my perception of it is every time Chow is speaking like non-broken, very well-spoken English, he's actually speaking Chinese.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when he has a broken accent, that's when he's actually trying to speak English to
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, that's what, that's what we're all saying.
I misunderstood. I thought you were saying that.
Were we speaking broken English?
Yes. I'm sorry. We had a really long time.
No, I said one of the great things.
One
of the great things that Hoon Lee does is, and the actress who plays Atoy does this too, mm-hmm. is like whenever they speak to native English speakers, they have this cadence to their voice. You know, it's something that kind of translates to the audience that they're actually speaking English,
mm-hmm.
but when Awesome and Mai Ling do it, they're fluent. So like it's not obvious that they just don't know.
How okay,
to I how protect to speak my partner.
Oh my god, this is one of my favorite moments in this season is and she just like slices a bunch of guys up. She's like, "What? I help you.
I fixed it.
I fixed it. We had a problem. I fixed it. It's gone."
Yeah. I'll put him in the ocean.
It's
no problem.
It's good.
Yeah. Fish. Atoy's great.
Fish will eat them. The fight scene was awesome. Bill taking care of business at the end of this thing where he's like, oh god, we gotta end this now. And he's like, mm-hmm. I just lost my bet. He's probably pissed off.
Yeah, he bet $5, right?
Yeah, $5. Yeah.
$5.
$5 is what? I don't
it's
know.
It's not probably a small amount of money back then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was probably close to like $5,000 or something like that.
I don't know.
Or $500.
Bill cannot pass up a bet.
Well, he's got a gambling problem.
Yeah.
He walks in there
and he's literally like, oh, I can't afford this at all.
But it's funny because he has such a low opinion of the Chinese. Uh-huh. And the only one that he's ever been impressed with was Awesome because not only did he kick the butt of like three Irishmen in prison, but he also spoke English and gave him some smack talk. So he's like, that guy's got something.
He's got moxie.
$5 on the tall one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like of all the bets that Bill has made this season, like this is the best one
on
a technical standpoint. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, he does have a good chance of winning.
That was a pretty safe bet going into the fight.
I did find it really amusing, like you touched on earlier, about how they're sitting there watching these guys kick the crap out of each other. And he's like, man, all these guys can
so
fight
screwed.
Like this, we're done.
Yeah.
We can't fight back against this. And yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah.
Really funny and ironic. And one of the best, I think this is probably one of the best choreographed fight scenes I've ever seen.
It's so good, dude.
I haven't watched a ton of kung fu movies and stuff, but I really enjoyed this fight. It was top notch, probably, way up there.
Yeah,
with any fight I've seen in any movie before.
The lighting, the sound design, the choreography, it was all top notch.
Shout out to Michael Snyman for
that was great.
The cinematography on that.
Good stuff.
Let's talk about him being left for dead, and Atoy is the only one who keeps him alive.
Let's talk about that. I would gladly get the shit kicked out of me if I can have Atoy blow weed in my face to help me recover.
Put sticks in your nose?
Yeah, yeah. And
she just like, she takes totally shotguns him.
She takes a hit of a bong or whatever it is.
It's opium.
Yeah, her special herbs that she mixes herself, and then she like opium. Blows it into his face.
It's medicine.
I'm like, yeah, sign me up. I'll take it.
Yeah, but one of the great things about Awesome's recovery period where he's basically in Atoy's bedroom and they're like attending to him to help him heal is that we get these great flashbacks of him mm-hmm. as a child with mm-hmm. Mai Ling, and we get to see kind of like what it was like in the old country and how Awesome like gets taken under the wing of like this like local like kung fu master and teaches him like how to breathe and like how to like mm-hmm. you know kind of like control his body before he fights, because mm-hmm. I think there's a great line in here where it's like, you can't fight if you can't breathe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so like it's like he's teaching them these basics, and we see like Awesome leave Mai Ling behind in order to learn these skills of how to fight, because his father gets upset with him because basically he has a big mouth and he keeps getting beat up.
You don't say.
And he can't he can't work
the
seals.
So this has been happening for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he's a kid at this point, and I'm assuming that the run-in he has with that warlord who ended up marrying his sister doesn't happen until much later when he's like a late teen, maybe something like that. So he's had this is a personality trait that Awesome has had for a long, long time. He talks himself into a lot of trouble, and when he's younger, he just doesn't know how to fight. But I do love that it's very classic kung fu, like you can't fight if you can't breathe, but, and like learn how to do the meditation stuff.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is that Mai Ling is the one who finds like the kung fu master to bring, and she brings him to Awesome to heal him, and then like he ends up taking him on as an apprentice, and Mai Ling doesn't want Awesome to leave, but you know he chooses his training over her, and that's like kind of the first thing that we see where basically Mai Ling is betrayed by her brother. And what's interesting is later on in this episode, Mai Ling, you know, having won the contest, like, so like basically the Long Z now are able to kind of move in and start expanding their territory. She has a meeting with all of her like lieutenants, and there's this one guy who's just not about, you know, like following a woman.
This is our Lucy Liu moment.
Oh, yeah.
Oren Ishii. There we go.
And the great part about that scene is so, like, she has like this wrist gun that like pops out, and she like shoots this guy who was disrespecting her, basically as a way to like tell everyone else, it's like, I'm not to be fucked with.
There has to be a sacrifice. Yeah.
Now's the fucking time.
Yeah. But they set that up episodes ago where she was at Chow's place and he was giving her that gun.
Yep.
So it didn't come out of nowhere. Like someone actually sat down and thought, hey, we should set this up and then pay it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that.
Right?
Holy cow. This is the first time it's ever been done.
Yeah. Wow.
They invented it here.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, there's that episode where she meets Chow and she's messing with that. And he's like,
I have something you might like.
Yeah. And he's like, here, let me show you how to use it. And she does it herself. I mean, he's like,
personally, for me, I didn't really need this setup because in my mind, I'm like, of course she has one of those. Why wouldn't she have one
of those?
She's
a mob boss.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Every mob boss is disrespected by everybody.
Well, she's got one on her ankle, too, probably.
If you notice, though, before this point, she's always used knives when she was, like, threatening people and stuff like that. She would always pull a knife out of her hair. I think a toy does that, too, but she always has a knife. When she was threatening that Irishman's family, and then now she's switched over. Now that she's the boss.
I fully expected that guy to not get shot but lose his head.
Chop his head off?
I thought she was going to chop his head off.
Yeah.
For real. I thought she was just going to grab a sword off of one of her henchmen behind her or something and just thwack. But I guess there really isn't a ton of swords in this.
A toy is the sword wielder.
Well, what's funny is like, so at a certain point in this episode, Big Bill and Big Dick are actually trying to do police work.
Right.
And they go to Chow and they're like, we need to know who you sold swords to. And he's like, I don't sell swords to anyone. They're old. Nobody uses swords.
Like, nobody wants swords. They want guns. They want axes.
Yeah. As he's saying this too, he's laying out like pistols on the table. He's like, I don't sell swords.
Officer, can I interest you in a new gun?
It's like hatchets, hammers, and guns. Like, that's it.
And Bill and Lee are just like, no, Chinamen are the only ones who use swords. And then Chow's just sort of like, give me a break.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, sometime white people kill white
people. That line was a great line. And that back and forth between Bill and Chow, where like, he's like, you know, if this keeps happening, it's going to get real difficult for black market sellers. And he's like, did you just threaten Chow? Yeah. He like, he refers to himself in the third person. He's like, did you just threaten me, Bill? Like, what are we doing here, man? Because that's not going to end up the way you think it's going to end up.
Well, that line, white people kill white people, that was a threat about having seen Bill kill that one guy.
Yeah. He knew that Bill murdered...
Chow knows everything.
Yeah, he knows everything.
The old collector.
Yeah, what was his name? Dylan or something. I can't remember. Damon. Damon something.
Talk about setup and payoff, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the next episode. But another great part about this episode is that we get Buckley doing his sticky finger thing where he goes to Penelope's dad. And basically the episode kind of starts off with Penelope's dad and Dennis Leary sitting there working out like the Irish labor for the steel factory that Penelope's dad runs. And Buckley doesn't like this. Uh-huh. So like he goes in there and he fucks with Penelope's dad by saying that they have a new bidder for like the next round of funding. for the public railway, and that they're coming in 15% lower. And Penelope's dad is like, that's impossible. They can't do that. And he's like, well, they can if they're using Chinese labor. And he's specifically doing this to provoke a labor riot,
mm-hmm.
Because he has like this political motivation to basically villainize the Chinese.
Also, he has a big boner to see Leary and Assam face off.
Well, I don't
the
know.
Rest of us.
Yeah, I don't know about him, but like we definitely want to see that happen.
He's like, you know what would really get me going?
See these two guys.
Yeah, but because
see him kiss.
Yeah, but because Buckley. Does this, Penelope's dad is forced to fire the Irish and hire Chinese laborers.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of leads into like the next episode.
So can I just, I got to talk about Penelope's dad. He pisses me off this
so
episode.
Bad with
he's
money.
Lame. He's a terrible businessman. Okay, yeah. So it's revealed a little bit later on that Buckley was bullshitting the whole time. He's like, I don't really have another contractor coming in to sweep this in. I just wanted to put pressure on him so that he would fire all the Irishmen. Mm-hmm. Are you telling me?
Oh, and he's lying to the mayor too. He's you're in debt.
Yeah.
He's like, you can't even afford to pay this anyway. I'm doing you a favor and you're welcome.
But I can't even remember Penelope's dad's name. What's his name?
Penelope's dad.
Penelope's dad.
Penelope's dad. He doesn't
Mercer.
Even. All he has to do. Yeah, that's right. All he has to do is ask like a series of like two or three questions to completely like dismantle Buckley's threat. Like, oh yeah, who's the contractor? Well, I can't tell you. Oh, you're not going to tell me? Then, I mean, how do we know what's going on here? When are they going to get, where's their facility at? Do they have a smelting facility? Because if they don't, then I'm the only one in town. They're not going to take mine over. Like, ask a couple of questions instead of just bending over immediately, and you'd realize that the guy's full of shit.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating to watch this dude like just, oh, well, I don't have a choice.
Which is why his business was in trouble before this.
To begin
this.
With.
Yeah.
And it's like his daughter is just the only one.
He's a bad businessman who likes to pour out his daughter for a political gain.
Penny's the only one with a head for business in this family.
Yeah. And she sticks it to him in this episode, too.
Yeah.
What's up?
It's in the next episode.
I keep going to the next episode.
Oh, is that episode 10? I guess, the episode 10 is the setup episode with all this stuff. Okay, makes sense. We'll wait then. We'll wait. But yeah, he's super frustrating for me. Like, Buckley is like, Buckley?
Sure.
Buckley is a dirty, dirty person. Mm-hmm. Like, he is a savage when it comes to this kind of stuff. He's obviously poking the bear to try to start this war.
Yeah, he's this show's Littlefinger.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I just... Mercer is just so frustratingly stupid. It's like it's irritating to watch him
fail.
And
you know what? Penelope knows this too.
Yeah.
Like she knows how bad her dad is at business.
Did they have a conversation this episode or the next episode when he was like...
It's episode 10.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll wait then.
we keep getting...
I know. Yeah. I'm like, I can't wait. I got to talk about it. What happens? What happens next episode?
So the finale of this episode, the penultimate episode...
Big Dick Lee!
Cheers.
Oh, Big Dick.
Yeah, well, so basically the Hopway...
Fung Hai.
No. The Hopway excommunicado, awesome,
for
having lost.
Yeah.
And Young Jun shows up, and he's like, this is the last time I can see you. And you can tell Young Jun, this hurts him.
Because
basically he's like, man, this guy put his life on the line. He's my friend.
He considers Assam his brother.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. But Father Jun is just like, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
You know, he lost us.
Young Jun is like, he fought for us. And Father Jun is like, and he lost.
Yeah.
He's dead to us.
Father Jun is very old school. Like, there's no favoritism in that.
And I think that this is how he's held his tongue together for so long, by being this cutthroat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. But so basically the episode... Not the very end, but at the end of this episode, Awesome is basically tongless.
Yeah.
Like, he's without a tongue.
Yeah. He's been kicked out. He's on his own. And he's told that, like, you can't join anyone else. Otherwise, you'll have, like, a price on your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at this point, like, he's still healing. Like, he's still, like, massively, like, messed up. And so he's just, like, at his lowest point. And then that brings us to Lee and Bill. And they're doing their beat in Chinatown. Mm-hmm. And
taking a nice stroll.
Yeah. And basically, like, Bill calls it a night and goes home. And as Lee's walking home, he gets accosted by some fun guys. And gets and we're revealed to, like, the leader of the fun guys. I forget his name.
I hate your nicknames.
Yes, I know. But this...
So does Dropper.
Yeah. The really fun guy shows up and basically
the funnest guy
shows up and beats the crap out of Lee, and basically this episode ends like basically suggesting that Lee just got killed.
Yeah, Lee is left for dead in the street.
Mm-hmm. It was a harsh beatdown. I really thought Lee might be able to hold his own.
Well, he did hold his own against like the two underlings, but amongst the funnest guy, there was just no holding his own.
Just so you know, we're all cringing when he says
every
that.
Every time you say that, I don't
remember their names.
It's like you have struck me.
It's like, I think it wasn't it.
Is it Words or Violence? Is that how it is?
It starts with a Z, I think, that guy's name. The main fun guy. Fung Hai.
It doesn't matter.
Fungi. Whatever.
The head mushroom.
Whatever.
The head mushroom.
It starts with a Z. I remember his name from the episode that he was introduced in. But anyway, yeah, that's the end of this episode. It was a great episode, man.
That's the Portobello.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. I had a great time with this episode. As the Chinese boxing, that scene, that's by far one of the best fight scenes in this first season. It was fantastic to watch.
Oh, I think it's the best fight scene.
Is it?
Of the season,
The pinnacle?
It's the pinnacle. The top. Gotcha.
Is it the penultimate?
It's the penultimate episode. Okay. Cheers, everybody.
He doesn't even drink. He's just dropping these.
You are the guys that made up this stupid tradition.
What show did we make that up on? I can't remember.
It was years ago.
Was it C or was it
Invasion?
Invasion? I don't remember.
I don't know. We made up a lot of during Invasion.
It's one of his favorite words.
Because he just gets us toasted the whole time.
This is a smart word that makes everybody else look stupid.
It's literally what you call the second to last episode of every season.
Oh, well. Yeah. All right. So we're going to move on to episode 10, the season.
It's a safe word, too.
Penultimate.
TMI.
Take it out. Penultimate.
Oh, I said it three times. God damn.
Not cool.
Would you say take it out?
Penultimate. Okay.
Egg farts.
Oh, no. That's an inside joke.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. If you could do me a quick favor, if you like this episode and it tickles your fancy or any other episode that we've done in the past, share it on social media and tag us in that post so that we know you're talking about us. And we will immediately jump onto that app and we will respond to your tag. And we can talk about what you like about the episode and possibly talk about something that we might want to cover in the future. And we would love to bring you in our community. We have a wonderful Discord app as well. There's a bunch of people in there that just love chatting with us. And we'd love to hear from you. So if you like this podcast, tag us in that post and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Thank you guys so much. Back to the podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, episode 10, the season 1 finale. Take it away, Jude.
Season 1, episode 10, if you're going to bow, bow low. Assam is on wheelbarrow duty with the other cheap laborers. He's determined to work honestly. That is, until he decides to join back up with the Hop Way. But it's different this time. This time, he has purpose. Bill sits by Lee's hospital bed waiting for him to wake up. When he confronts the Fung Hai, he realizes he has no choice but to become their new collector to replace the one he murdered. And Father June carves out territory for Mai Ling's new opium endeavor, inciting young June to start taking matters into his own hands with his own crew. Discuss.
All right, so this episode, this is a lot of setup for season 2.
Yeah.
It's kind of a calm after the storm, I guess.
At least we know Lee has survived. He's in a coma in the hospital.
Yeah, they beat the absolute crap out of him. What were you going to say, Cage?
I'm going to say that, yeah, they set up a lot of stuff for season 2, but they also pay off a lot of things that were going on this season.
Mm-hmm.
So we get some good conclusions to a couple of the story threads that were happening, but we also get a lot of setup for season 2. And it ends in a weird way where, like, if there was no season 2, like, it'd still be, like, a satisfactory ending.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, God, I really want a season 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, you fall in love with these characters, and you've got to see more of them.
Also, I forgot to mention Penelope has an altercation or a confrontation with her father.
Yes, finally. Mm-hmm. It's about time. I just want to talk about this the plot with Assam in this episode is super sad. Oh my gosh. So he's down on his luck. He's
rock bottom.
Yeah, he's
sharing a cot.
He's in the I don't know, I guess the slums of Chinatown, mm-hmm. just doing like the worker bee type stuff, and he's sharing a cot with this other guy. And I suppose they get to know each other. First of all, the alarm clock guy needs to do a better job.
Shame.
Because he's walking around with a can with like pebbles in it.
It's
and
like
he's
a
just
rain
going,
stick.
Yeah, he's like, it's 5 o'clock, guys.
I'm like, okay, wish I was going like, to start waking him up like that.
No, that wouldn't work on me. That dude would walk right past me. I mean, there's no way. He's so soft spoken. He's like, it's 5 o'clock. Ching, ching, ching. It's 5 o'clock. Ching, ching, ching. He's just shaking his little can. I'm like, bro, you got to have more enthusiasm than that. I am not going to wake up to that.
is somebody paying him?
I would assume, yeah. I mean, they have to make sure that
the alarm clock guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have to make sure that the
very important part of the daily.
What happens when the alarm clock guy sleeps in? Like, what if he just passes out?
I mean, the whole Chinatown falls apart.
The 5 o'clock guy has the 4 o'clock guy that comes in and wakes him up.
Oh, okay. You think it's a shift work?
Shift work.
Yeah.
Every alarm clock guy has a different alarm clock guy that comes in and shakes him up.
So is it one for every hour?
Probably. Yeah.
Wow. Right. No, yeah. I don't know. There's like a whole.
I'm gonna say there's two shift alarm clock guys.
So all of Chinatown,
the alarm clock guy gets high before he starts doing the alarm clock duty.
That's right. He does. He lights up right before he takes a couple buffs.
Think about it.
Like, right.
Wouldn't you want to get high too? He's like, this is what I do. 5 o'clock.
It's depressing in there.
5 o'clock, assholes.
Sorry, your cot mate died o'clock. In your cot.
Oh God! You know that place must just reek, mm-hmm. just smell. I mean, you go to the work. Camps all day long, you're sweating your balls off, you're freaking,
and then you just come home
and you crash, and you're sweaty, you're dusty, you're gross, you just sleep in the same cot, it's like five other
don't
dudes.
Even take a shower.
It's gotta be bad.
But in a weird way, this is kind of Awesome's penance for, you know, losing, where basically like he doesn't want to fight anymore, he has nothing to fight for, mm-hmm. he's lost his sister, he's mm-hmm. lost his tongue, he's lost his friends, he can't even go back to the homeland. And he just feels like he's nothing. And so basically he's taking these very menial labor jobs as a form of punishment.
Yeah.
You know what he needs to do? He needs to get a YouTube channel and start a podcast so he can get out of his daily menial everyday piece of shit job that he hates.
Do you have a guy that wakes you up with a rain stick in the morning?
Are you saying that YouTube is the equivalent to the tongs?
Maybe.
Are we part of a gang?
Well, we got our own tong going on here. The salty nerd man. Tong.
But it's kind of funny because throughout this episode, so like Hoon Lee's character, what's his name?
Chow.
So Chow basically recognizes Awesome and he's like, hey, you know, like, why are you doing this? Like, you should be, you know, I got better work for you, and Awesome's just not having any of it. And then
Penelope says the same thing.
And then Young June shows up and he gives him a way back into the tong, and Awesome tells him to go fuck off because he's still bitter about like how he was treated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? Young June, to his credit, he's like, man, I put my neck out for you. Like this is me like trying to like help you, and you know, he's just Awesome's just like, nah, man, like I just want to work.
Yeah.
I don't want anything to do with this anymore.
He wants to be invisible at that point.
Yeah.
I was going to say his self-esteem is completely rock bottom, because even when Chow was like, hey, man, you don't need to be here. Like, you could be doing something else. You're very valuable. And he's like, I'm just like everybody else. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's like, he has no self-worth whatsoever.
Clearly he's not. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously everybody knows, like, he speaks English. Like, he could fight like a freaking savage.
Why is that guy working in the slum pits?
Yeah.
And the guy that he's like swapping beds with, or swapping bunks with, hot, is it called hot swapping? I don't know.
I don't know. I've never done that.
I don't know. That's a new term for me.
But hot swapping cots.
Yeah. But basically his bunk mate, I guess you call him.
Yeah.
Sounds gross.
So like, this is the guy who sleeps while Awesome works, and then he works while Awesome sleeps.
Yeah.
So like, this guy, we get some background on him where basically like he came to America to get money for his family. He was only supposed to be there like a year, and then like it's 8 years later and he's still struggling to like basically like just subsist and survive.
This was so sad.
And he actually got injured working, and he can't afford medical treatment. Yeah. So like, this
I don't think they had a treatment for tetanus then, and that's clearly what this was.
Yeah. So basically he got like a leg wound and he's been like silently suffering, and Awesome finds this out and he's like, he actually goes and buys him some medicine
and some
fresh bread. And so like, when he returns, the guy's dead, mm-hmm. basically. And this is the moment where like Awesome, he got to know this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, he felt for him. And when he died, like, you know, he actually picked him up and went and buried him instead of sleeping.
Yeah.
And this pays off later in the episode. So, like, no, I'm not going to talk about it too much right now, but we'll just remember this moment.
I think Assam, like, empathizes with him, too, because, like, he came here with an agenda, and now he's in the same position as this guy. And I think he sees, like, I'm going to end up just like him.
That guy's story is so tragic, though. Yeah. He's like, I came here. I was only meant to be here for a year. I was supposed to make money.
His family's still
back in
China.
His family's back in China. He's like, I was supposed to come here and make money and then send it back to China because that was the dream that they were sold on. Like, go to America, make a ton of money so you can support your family.
It's the American dream.
That's the American dream. I mean, that's still being sold to a lot of immigrants these days. It's like, it hasn't really gone away. And the most tragic thing that he says in this part is he's already sick. He can't work anymore. He's like, I'm going to die here. I was supposed to be here for a year, and I could never afford to get a ticket to go back home. I've been here for 8 years. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, and then when he says, like, I'm going to die here, and my spirit won't know how to get home.
Oh, yeah.
Heartbreaking. Yeah.
That's a super tragic scene.
Yeah.
Super, just kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, way to drag us down.
Sorry, man.
But like Penelope sees him later on in her father's
smelting
plant, and she says the same thing. She's like, with your English, you could be a manager. Right. You could be a translator. And Assam's just like, leave me alone.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But so I want to talk about Dennis Leary for a minute.
Let's go.
I want to talk about Dylan Leary.
So basically, we cut to a scene in an Irish pub, and two black guys come in, laborers, and they order whiskey. And all the Irish guys in there are like super racist. They turn on the racist switch. And they're like, you can't drink here, boyo, you know, like, go find one for your own kind. And Leary comes out and he scolds them.
Yeah.
He's like, look, these guys have it even worse than we do. They've made their bones, let them drink. And they're like, you know, oh, thank you, man. He's like, shut the fuck up. You should know better to come in here in the first place. But we're not going to kick you out without you having your drink. So so finish your drink and go. And that's when he finds out about like all the Irish guys who got fired from Penelope's father's steel mill.
Mm-hmm. He goes in guns blazing.
This scene, it's kind of funny, though, because, again, Mercer is freaking spineless, right? Mm-hmm. So he comes in there. He's like, hey, man, we freaking shook hands on this deal. You're supposed to have Irish workers here, yada, 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 like the whole spiel.
And immediately before this, Penelope's like, you need more of a backbone. You need to go to your suppliers and tell them, renegotiate. He's like, this is men's business.
Also, Penelope's going through his books. And she's like, this is a mess. Yeah. What are you doing? And he's like, oh, don't worry about that. Uh-huh. You know, like, this is my business.
So frustrated.
You're so pretty, darling.
But it's funny, though, because, like, as cool as Penelope is with the business, she's pretty business savvy. I know she's a lot better than her father is anyway. When Leary walks in and he's like, I'm going to talk to your father. You should probably walk out. And she looks at him. She's like, I'll be right outside.
I'm
like,
I know.
Okay,
I
Penelope.
I laughed at that.
Okay.
I was like, what the fuck are you going to do?
It was just hilarious to see her kind of like...
Oh, he's quaking in his boots, Penelope.
She just kind of ruffles her feathers a little bit.
Oh, shit, your daughter's outside the door?
No.
I guess I'll behave myself.
It was such a joke.
Well, because I think she said that because, like, in her world, like, you wouldn't want me to tell people you weren't a gentleman,
yeah,
do you?
Something
and
like
he's
that.
Like, I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit. I'm going to beat the hell out of your dad.
Yeah.
but this leads to a great scene where basically Mercer tells Leary that, it's not his fault, and he blames it on Buckley. And so what does Leary do? He goes and visits Buckley.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
And that scene between Buckley and Leary was fantastic.
It was amazing. Like Buckley, I don't like him as a character. He's a menacing little snake, but that scene where Leary's got him up against the carriage. And by the way, guys, the driver was right there and he was just like,
these are the guys that wrote The Guards and Sea. Okay. So, same writers.
What were their names again?
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. We found his cousin and he's driving the freaking carriage.
Uh-huh. And it's funny because the driver doesn't do anything until Buckley starts throwing up. He's like, hey, are you okay over there?
Oh, sir, I'm sorry. I didn't notice that somebody was trying to stab you earlier. My bad. God, what a joke of a driver. Anyway, I thought that
was
freaking hilarious.
He gets paid to drive.
Yeah, he's like, I'm
the driver. He's not getting paid to stand in the way of Leary.
Yeah. Well, Leary probably told him, he's like, hey, you keep your mouth shut.
And Leary probably got him that driving job to begin with. He's like, listen, that's between you guys.
I don't get paid to like hold your hair back while you barf. Okay?
Am I still pretty?
So the great part about this scene is basically we have these two characters facing off for the first time, and they're both very powerful men in their own right. And Leary comes in to try to intimidate Buckley because, you know, Buckley, you know, he's a war veteran, but he's like disabled. He's missing a part of his leg. Mm-hmm. And Leary pushes him up against the carriage and holds like a knife to his face. And normally this is where, like, you know, Leary would expect these spineless politicians to kind of melt down. But yeah. Buckley doesn't flinch.
Oh, dude, he stares right into his face. He's like, you don't know many men like me. And Leary's like, what the fuck?
He's just here to chat. Buckley's like, what would you like to discuss,
friend? That was a wild line.
But then, like, after that moment, Leary takes the knife and, like, puts it against, like, his, like, spleen or something like that, or his liver. And it's a kill shot. Like, he stabs him there. Like, Buckley's dead. And again, Buckley doesn't flinch, and he's like, look, like, this might work on some other people, but it's not going to work on me. Like, you know, if you want to change
state law,
if you really want to fight, I'll fight, or, you know, you can just take care of the Chinese problem. And then Leary fucks off, and the minute Leary's out of sight, Buckley crumbles and just vomits because he's so fucking scared,
terrified.
Yeah,
he has a good poker face though.
Yeah,
I'll give him
does.
That. But yeah, that line, he's like, you don't know that many men like me. That right there makes me want to see a backstory or a flashback of him. Like, what did he do in the war?
Maybe in season three we'll get one.
Maybe. I'd love to see, like, some Civil War flashback.
Don't make me sympathetic for Buckley, though.
Oh, wouldn't that be cool, though? If he's, like, in this... No, not sympathetic, but, like, what if he did some really fucked up shit in the Civil War? Like, I don't know whose side he was on. Was he on the North or the South? I can't remember.
No idea.
I don't know. But anyway, whichever side he's on, I want to see him do some dark
shit.
Pretty
sure he was North.
Was he a northerner?
Pretty sure.
What are they called? Yankees?
Union.
Goddamn Yankees. I'm a Yankee. It would be cool to see if that little bit of a snippet line gave us any hint to his backstory and we get like a payoff for that later on. That'd be amazing. I can't wait. But yeah, that was a savage line. I loved it. That was a great interaction between those two. Those are some heavy.
Yeah, I actually think it's one of the best scenes of the finale.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And speaking of great scenes in the finale, so basically after Lee gets messed up in the last episode, we have a situation where Mai Ling is informed that, you know, the police are cracking down on all of Chinatown because of this, because one of their own got beat up. And so she's like, oh, it was the fun guys who beat up this cop. They're causing all types of trouble for this. And basically she meets with Father June, and who kind of concedes like the territory.
Mm-hmm.
Father June isn't happy, especially considering the fact that like it was her people who basically sicked the police on them, and it's bad for everyone's business.
Yeah.
And so Mai Ling meets with the funnest guy, and it is like, our association is now over because you messed up. And funnest guy is like, no.
Oh, he's like, oh, I don't think you understand.
Yeah.
Why don't you come outside with me? And he has a fucking army outside her door.
They lost, what did we say last episode when they had the street fight? It was like 11 men that she lost.
It was seven, I think.
Was it seven?
Seven
okay.
to four.
Seven, 11 total. Seven on her side, three on the other side. They lost a bunch of fighting men in that brawl. And then now, so their numbers are limited, but she was like, well, we have the fun guys to back us up, which is like, they're kind of like their little ace in the hole. But
and the Fung Hai didn't participate in that brawl.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they just stood back and watched.
That's very strategic, too. Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to lose men for this, because as soon as they start losing men, I'm going to have a chance to take over. And that's exactly what he does. He's like, look at me. Now I am the captain. He does a scene like that. Yeah.
Now I own Chinatown.
Well, because like Mai Ling spent a lot of time and effort establishing herself as the girl boss of the Long Zi. And, you know, like, she's murdered people and, you know, we had the whole tiger.
She murdered her own husband.
You know, we had the whole tiger and fox parable and stuff like that. But at this point, this is the first time where she's been kind of like outmaneuvered. And it's a very interesting scene because this guy's a real badass. Because right before this scene, Bill shows up at the Fun Guy casinos and basically starts laying down the law. And then this guy comes out and
takes the gun out of Bill's hand. Yeah. And let's not forget, this is the same guy who, when Mai Ling murdered his boss in front of him, he just pushed him out of the chair
and sat down,
it and said, what would you like to negotiate about?
Yeah. And so he tells Bill, he's like, I don't want your money. I want you. And so Bill now becomes the Fun Guy enforcer, the loan shark collector for the white.
He becomes the monster he thought he had vanquished.
Yeah. What's
that,
up, V?
That about killed me.
When Bill turned?
Just the irony there. It's like, I'm like, oh, man, that's...
That's not a good path.
That's, no.
Yeah.
Got no choice, though.
It was dark. I did like... I appreciated the fact that when Bill went in there, he went in there for revenge for Big Dick Lee. And he came out
with a job.
He stood his own for a minute. Like, he had like I think it was two or three guys come after him. He shoots one in the leg. He punches the other one. Then he grabs one dude and like holds a gun to his neck. And he's like, I'm gonna freaking get some. Go ahead.
I love his reaction when the guy takes the gun out of his hand. He goes, "Oh shit!"
Well, not only does he do that, like he kills his own man. Yes. Just to show Bill he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
That's right, because Bill had him by the neck, and he was like holding him as like a human shield, and the dude just blows him away, and he's like, oh, shit. That guy's a savage,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, the funnest guy is now the new big bad of Chinatown.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't believe how fast freaking Mei Ling lost her rank, though, man. Like, she was on top for, like, a day, and immediately somebody comes in and undercuts her and takes over. Gosh, she must be so frustrated.
If we're comparing characters in this show to characters in Game of Thrones, you said earlier that
Buckley is Littlefinger.
Yeah,
I think Chao is Varys, and I think that the Fung Hai are the the Hill Tribes.
Hill Tribes,
or the Mountain Tribes
from
Mountain Clans
from that one episode where they like were with Tyrion.
Yeah.
Those guys?
Yeah. They're just like, I am son of Grog.
Okay. All right.
No, I feel like the funnest guy is a Greyjoy. I feel like he's a Euron Greyjoy.
He's smarter than that, though.
Yeah.
Euron's kind of a dweeb. I was thinking more like, what's Khal Drogo's clan? What are they called again?
Dothraki.
Dothraki. Yeah, I kind of feel like they're the Dothraki.
Okay,
I can
see that.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know why we keep comparing it to Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, like, what are you guys doing?
We still don't have closure on those last two seasons.
We're still upset about
that. That shit was like years ago.
I know it was. How many years ago was Game of Thrones?
Four years ago.
Five? God, it's been so long.
So there's another great scene between Buckley and Penelope in this episode where after Leary pays, you know, her father a visit, she goes and confronts Buckley about like his, you know, manipulation of her father. And she basically says, like, I know your game. I know what you're up to. And Buckley gaslights the fuck out of her while still acknowledging that, like, she's right. It's a really good scene. Like Penelope in this episode, they're setting her up to basically kind of, like, take over the family business at the end. Because, spoiler alert, her father dies, essentially.
It's too bad.
But... everything in like Ducktown,
yeah,
the white part of town,
Ducktown.
Like, yeah, with or the pond, whatever.
There you go.
With Penelope and Buckley and like the mayor and like, you know, Mercer and like
all the politicking.
Yeah, it really comes to a head in this episode, and we start getting some payoffs for what's been happening. So we got the Tong War, which the entire season had been building up to, but the Chinese boxing kind of like, you know.
Let's talk about
the great fight in this episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's get to the finale.
Yeah. Okay. So Leary, of course, is upset because the Chinese labor has taken over the jobs that he got for the Irishmen that he negotiated with. So he's like, all right, well, we got to go do some Peaky Blinders shit. So he goes down to the place and he's like, we're going to start like ransacking this whole place. And they start lining up the Chinese labor guys.
He's got his Irish army with him. And basically they round up all the Chinese workers in Mercer's factory. Mercer locks himself in his office.
And has a heart attack.
Because he's scared shitless. And basically...
and immediately dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're basically like, oh, you want to work here? Like, we're going to take away your ability to work. And they start like taking hammers to the Chinese people's hands. And while they're doing that, Leary goes up to Mercer's office to kind of confront him. And they're all wearing masks and they're all like very intimidating.
Oh, yeah, can't tell who
anymore.
Oh,
yeah, no.
Yeah.
can't tell.
Oh, my God, V, where did you go?
It's not me.
What have you done with V?
It's not me. I got my army of four people here behind me. We're going to go.
They did have a surprisingly like few amount of people.
Well, see, this is the whole thing with this whole series. It's like we got the Tong War. The Tong War is... 12 dudes fighting 12 dudes. That's not an army. It's a gang. Okay. That's a rumble in the street. It's not a fucking war. You know, it's like, it's just.
And Leary brings in like seven dudes off the street to take out.
You're telling me all those laborers don't know little kung fu? They could have kicked the shit out of those guys.
I don't know. Did you see the conditions that they lived in?
Yeah, okay.
Well as Leary's leading his Irish army in, basically, Awesome sees this, you know, as some of the laborers are running by. He's like, what's going on? And remember that he had just buried his friend who he was like, you know, sharing the bunks with.
Now he's seeing all his, in his mind, it's his friends who are getting like tortured by the Irish.
It's his people.
Yeah.
And so like, there's a point where like one of the Irish guys like is about to like bring the hammer down on the Chinaman's hand. and Awesome just grabs it, and then the music cues in, and it's like the fight. Bong, bong, bong.
I mean, I do get it. I understand they have to have the setup and have Awesome have his big moment and everything, but just some of these fights just don't really work for me.
What do you want? Do you want more? Or you want more people?
I think I need more people. Okay. I think I need.
Is it the lack of satellite dishes?
I don't know. Maybe something.
Well, but the cool part about this is basically Awesome starts taking on the entire Irish army that's there, right?
So the entire Irish gang of hoodlums.
Yeah. Yes. All seven of them. Yeah. At the same time.
That's a huge army.
Yeah. Well, against one guy, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot, isn't it? Can you take on seven guys?
Kung Fu Master. If I was a Kung Fu Master, I'd kick the shit out of seven guys.
Well, he did kick the shit out of seven dudes. Like, it was cool. It was a dope ass fight scene.
And the fight was like really well done. But then, like, as the fight's going on, Leary's up. You know, like on the catwalk.
Yeah, dude, that was a great scene.
Yeah, yeah, and he's just staring down, and he's like looking at Awesome take apart all of his guys,
and he's like, I know that guy.
Well, no, he's looking at, like, he's on this balcony, and he looks down, and he sees his guys getting toasted by this one dude, and he's like, oh, not on my watch. He's like, I gotta get involved.
Uh-huh. Comes,
and that leads us to the big climax, which is Leary versus Awesome.
Yes. Yeah,
this is when I hear the Mortal Kombat. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, here we go. It was a great scene.
And it's fantastic because, like, the entire season, they've been setting these two characters up independently. And this is the first time that they come together to fight. Mm-hmm. And they have two very different fighting styles. Mm-hmm. And so when Leary comes and attacks Awesome, like he literally punches through, like, the wood handle that Awesome had been using as a weapon. And hits him right where...
with his freaking big old fat ring, right to his chest.
Yeah. Right where Leong...
Yeah, right where Leong had hit him. And so, like, Awesome gets knocked down.
Yeah.
And Awesome's like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
This dude's a brawler. So what I love about that is, like, Awesome's got this very fluetic, you know, it's kung fu. It's very graceful and stuff like that. It hits hard when it can, but... Leary's such a freaking brick house.
He
literally catches one of Awesome's kicks. He's like full on, like, leg kick, and Leary just grabs it, and he goes,
what are you gonna do?
What is this nonsense? What are you kicking me for? Mm-hmm. And he just, like, throws down with, like, a
brawl. When he grabs the kick, Awesome, like, flips backwards and kicks him with his other foot underneath the chin, and Leary's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This fight is sexier than anything that ever happened in the Fuck Palace.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Yes.
No, come on.
Yeah, the entire time we're watching, she's just like, kiss, kiss, kiss.
Jude, you're so weird.
That's strange.
Just go ahead and do it. There's too much tension in the air.
I know you wish that fist was your lip.
Oh, my God.
This was a good fight. I prefer the
Chinese boxing one?
The boxing.
Oh,
boxing
okay.
Boxing match.
Okay.
That was a great fight. Yeah. That was probably the best fight. This was the sexiest fight.
Okay.
Jude's making V uncomfortable.
What's great is that the fight never actually got to finish because the police show up and basically, like, Awesome and Leary have to, like, kind of break away from each other.
Ooh, and Leary's like, I'm going to find you. And Assam is like, I hope so. You know they're going to hook up.
but basically they leave us with a case of, like, blue balls in terms of this fight.
Yeah, because it gets...
I didn't get to finish.
My biggest issue with the whole fight with Leary is I feel like they need to be careful between having these guys be really cool fighters and having superpowers.
What do you mean superpowers?
You know...
You mean like punching through the wooden thing?
He's punching through axe handles and shit. That would fuck you up.
Maybe it was a weak accent.
Okay, it's just...
It's Chinese made.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, right.
Cheap labor. So,
I think that's why I might not have liked that
you think they
fight
went
as much, because I think they went a little bit too much into...
Comic book
level of things. Yeah,
okay.
Maybe.
All right.
Does that make sense?
But I mean, they've set up, like, how durable Leary is in previous fights, mm-hmm. where, like, basically he can take a... Can take multiple punches and it just doesn't phase
him.
But
he comes flying through the air with a Superman punch, like fucking Roman Reigns on the WWE.
It.
It's like, I don't know.
I'm trying to think back to all the other fight scenes we've seen of him, if they've ever, like...
This is your dragon scale dress.
Yeah. Oh, did she just show up on screen? Mm-hmm. Can we do the group shot? Or are we going to get copyright claimed? I don't know. But yeah, this is the...
Is that it?
Yeah. No, it was black. Oh, no, okay. The one I liked was black. We'll get back to it.
Khaleesi of Chinatown.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. You're not wrong. I think I'm just caught up in the moment that I'm like, this is freaking awesome. I don't give a shit. Yeah. Like, I just kind of like, I put that aside a little bit because I'm having too much fun to really worry about the nitpicky stuff. But I see what
I'm
you're
not,
saying.
I'm not trying to nitpick. I'm
you're
just saying
immune.
It's
you're
bit.
Immune to the awesomeness. Is that what you're saying?
He's getting nitpicky because he's drinking White Claws.
Oh, is that
I'm turning into a bitch.
So one of the interesting aspects about this fight is basically Mercer dies. He has a heart attack while locked in his office.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Penelope had been kind of like in there, kind of like looking over the business. And she had seen Awesome earlier when Awesome showed up as one of the laborers. And she tries to convince him to like be like a supervisor because he can speak English and, yeah. and Chinese. And Awesome wants nothing to do with her. And so she's not there when like the Irish show up. But she's there for the aftermath where basically like the company is now hers mm-hmm. after her father dies. And she's going through the books. And she's just like, oh, no.
I have a question about that, because is that how it would really happen? Like, if her dad dies and his company is
women
kind of in limbo,
his, her, like,
would
businesses.
She really be able to just step in and it would be like a family-owned thing? Or would somebody, one of our business partners who has like a majority share, be
I
the
don't
one?
Think he had a business partner.
He didn't? It was...
I never heard of any.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, so basically, like, if the family owned the business... Mm-hmm. Then depending on the will, like it would go to like the next family member or okay. whoever's like the head of the family.
Okay. I suppose
plus
we'll,
she's the mayor, mayor's wife. So obviously everybody thinks that the mayor is going to be like helping her run business.
Yeah. Well, the mayor is taking care of things.
It's men's work.
It's men's work. Yeah.
And speaking of men's work. So after the fight with Leary, Awesome takes the guys who are breaking people's hands to Atoy.
He gives Atoy a little gifty. Mm-hmm. He's like, I brought you something. She's like, what'd you bring me? And
two guys hogtied in the back room.
Yeah, I brought you some guys that were torturing Chinese laborers. Yeah, and yeah. She's like, oh, my favorite.
It's like it's better than a bouquet of flowers.
Oh my
flowers.
God, she takes one of the guys and you just hear him screaming.
Yeah, well, yeah. She's
the,
like,
her henchman guy just comes in and grabs him.
drags
yeah. And like the other guy's still there and he's like shit in his hands
he's
listening to his
out.
Other guy
but
yeah.
It's funny because he's like, well, they were smashing the guy's hands with a hammer, and she goes like this one, and she just holds up a hammer uh-huh. and I'm like, oh no uh-huh. Yeah, those guys are toast.
And the great part about this scene is basically Awesome says that he's found something to fight for, which is his people. And so now that he has this renewed kind of like purpose for being in America and to fight, he goes back and takes up Young Jun's offer to rejoin the Hop Way. And the episode ends with him in his suit with his hatchet,
yep.
leading his men down the street uh-huh. in slow motion like a boss.
Yep.
He's the muscle behind Young Jun.
And now we know for sure that him and Atoy are going to be doing some
justice. I thought they were going to end it different.
How so?
I thought they were going to end it with Awesome becoming Atoy's
number one man.
Number one enforcer.
She's got her
dude
little protege.
Yeah.
She's got her like,
which played very little into the season.
Legion of Women Warriors.
Yeah. Well, just one feminine. For now.
Just yeah. You guys gotta get your like numbers straight on what a legion and an army is.
This is the guy
once
who plays.
Once you have some more White Claws, his, to call.
Her Legion of One. His army of five.
Okay, I've seen season two, so shut the fuck
Jesus
up.
Jesus Christ.
This is the guy who plays Warhammer 40,000, and he's like, you guys don't know what you're talking
no.
about. That's not an army. That's four dudes.
It's four guys.
He's like, this doesn't taste like real mangoes.
You mean us in the room are not the Salty Nerd Army? Come on, man.
No, we got SJWs.
We're the tong, the Salty Nerd Tong.
The Salty Nerd Tong.
Vader, show your shirt.
Yeah, was it Salty Justice Warrior, the SJWs? Is that our fan club? Is that what we're doing?
Yep.
All right, I guess. Dorks. That's an old shirt. Where did that come from? That came from like one of
the
first
deep,
episodes.
Deep down in my closet.
Yeah.
It's got a hole in it. I need
we came up with that. Somebody commented.
That was in our audio only when we first started.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an old reference.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the first shirts you guys made.
Yeah. That's a deep cut. Is that everything for episode 10?
You guys are both wearing oldies but goodies, too.
Yeah. I'm wearing my Hewlett Gets Me shirt because that's laundry day and he's the only black shirt I have.
I'm wearing Vader's
One Star Trek Fest with a little butthole in the star.
Yeah, you got a little cat butthole.
We're
right in the
so
star.
Weird.
Never noticed that before.
Why do we do this?
Yeah, I never noticed that until
that's
right
perfect.
Now.
God,
pretty subtle.
All right,
it's got a literal butthole.
Do you guys have any? He does. I know you keep derailing me. I'm trying to polish this up.
I'm gonna go get like this. Drink this case of White Claw. Right here, right here in front of me.
Left those here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chrissy Mayer was here.
Make
in
a whole
studio.
Case of one.
They brought their own drinks.
They did.
Oh,
she brought an army of three other people with her.
Yeah,
it was wild.
It was great. And final thoughts on this episode before I get to the showrunner's amazing message that he sent me.
I can't wait to hear it.
Is it, you got anybody else? Kadish, you good?
I just want to say this was an excellent first season of this show. It got me hooked. Love all the characters, love all the setup. Can't wait to start reviewing season two. Mm-hmm. And I am really looking forward to season three.
Yeah.
We actually finally have an official release date for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
Which is
June 29th.
June 29th.
Yeah. So we're very excited to start covering that week to week. And I love everything about this show. It's a great show.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. I concur. Okay, so Jonathan Tropper, the showrunner for Warrior, he's wrapped on season three. They just delivered the final two seasons to HBO, or Max,
I guess. Final two seasons?
No, two episodes. Did I say seasons?
Oh, you said season two.
My bad.
Two seasons?
No, I'm sorry.
Three and four coming up?
Final two episodes of season three have been delivered to HBO. They're done, so they're wrapped. So he's got a little bit of time on his hands, apparently, because he wrote me a freaking paragraph.
Oh. He should come back on.
A paragraph from Tropper. That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like he took his time this morning to have a nice little chat with me.
Oh, so this was today?
This was today, yeah.
Wow,
I woke up to this morning. I think it was like 7:40 a.m. He's like, you idiots. It says, by the way.
That's how it starts?
Yes.
Actually.
He was pushing his glasses up like this as he was typing.
I can't wait to read this to you.
They're not called fun guys.
Yeah. He says, by the way, I checked out the first two episodes, semicolon. He's got a lot to say.
Oh my God.
Bruce Lee named Assam, not me.
Oh, cool.
I believe it means three. I didn't make up a toy either. She's based on a famous courtesan from San Francisco from the period that I read about in my research. And I heard you guys say Bolo was a JCVD reference. He is not.
Bullshit!
Bolo Young.
I think Tropper's gaslighting us.
I was literally about to say Tropper's gaslighting us.
Don't believe you.
Bolo Young first appeared as Bolo in Enter the Dragon opposite Bruce Lee, and so I named him in tribute of that. Okay. Well, Bolo Young from Bloodsport was probably a reference to that,
and
too.
Same dude.
It's the same actor.
Same guy.
Okay.
Tropper, it was the same actor whose actual name is Bolo Young.
There are many
Tropper,
such
Tropper, you don't know what you're talking about. We're right. Please continue.
There are so many such Easter eggs. Mei Ling and Bill O'Hara are, and sadly, none are tributes to JCVD.
Bullshit!
They all hail from original Bruce Lee movie lore. This is a good one. I don't expect you guys to deep dive that much, but I took a number of names and also moments of choreography right out of Bruce Lee classics. Listen, man. Saying that we don't do our research is going to send Kadish down a deep rabbit hole.
Well, he's not wrong.
No, the three of us don't care. Yeah. You're going to spend 40 hours this week researching where these things came from.
Babe, we're going to be watching nothing but Bruce Lee movies.
I'm down.
All right, let's see. Dylan Leary, not Dennis, is based on a real person named Dennis Kenry.
Dennis.
Fuck off.
It's true. It's Dennis. Dennis Kendry is Dennis Leary. Oh, shit.
God damn it, Tropper.
Oh, you just doubled down on Kadish. Who started the Workmen's Party in California, which was basically a labor movement that also sought to get rid of the Chinese. He was basically the Irish Jimmy Hoffa.
I feel like Trapper's man-coding us right now.
Kind of is. He's stomping on us a little bit. That's all right.
Good for him.
He's been up all night drinking Red Bulls, and he has something to say.
This is his revenge for Vader saying, like, why didn't they just push the rock?
Yeah. He's like, listen, idiots. But I did say, I said, this is amazing. Thank you for fact-checking the shit out of us. And this is his response. He's, God, if I really did that, I'd be here all day.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
he's like, actually, the fuck palace is an 18th century Victorian design.
It's real. The fuck palace is real.
Oh my God, Tropper's mad at us.
Oh man, he said the show is fiction, but I do inject a lot of history into it. I can appreciate that. We could tell. But the last thing he did say was, I will take full blame for Young Jun's name. That was all me. So there you go. Young June was on purpose.
Wait, wait. Father June wasn't his fault either.
Father June and young June. And older June. And baby June.
Baby June.
And
sister June.
Sister June.
Daughter June.
Daughter June. So that's our message from Jonathan Tropper. We hope to be able to get him on the show again. He was a guest of ours during the season 3 recap stuff. So hopefully if his schedule
allows
it. Although
he did have to get drunk to show up on our show.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's everybody. We encourage our guests.
He had like 2 shitty seasons in the fucking winter.
In Canada.
During COVID.
During COVID. Yeah. He needed those drinks. I don't think those drinks had anything to do with us.
I'm sure they helped, though.
For sure.
I encourage any guest of ours that comes on our show to pregame it.
When you asked him to come back on, has he been like, have I been on?
No, he remembers.
Well, he's gonna come on. He's like, here's the reasons that everything you say is wrong.
I love it when he does that.
I do too. That's great. That's
we love Jonathan, and like, this is a show that was like his from the beginning, mm-hmm. right? So like, when he came in, like, See, it already had like 1 season, so
and
like,
he was like, how can I fix this show?
and this show is actually like a lot closer to something like Banshee, which was also like a show that was like all his. So mm-hmm. But it's basically a turn of the century crime drama with kung fu, mm-hmm. and it's like,
it's awesome.
Yeah, give me more.
It's a great show.
Yeah. I did message him that. I'm like, all jokes aside, dude, this show is freaking fantastic, and we love watching it. So, yeah. I really do hope that he can open up his schedule to come back on and join us either via StreamYard's link or maybe just make a trip to Vegas. I don't know. We will see. But yeah, we're looking forward to chatting with you guys, cast and crew. I know I got a couple of other messages from people who are on the production that says they're loving our recaps and stuff like that.
That's great.
Thank you guys again. Most of it's bleed over from season 3 because that's kind of like Tropper's team. They're all like, oh, you guys are doing Warrior now. Sweet. Let's go.
Yeah.
So we're having a good time.
Let's hope that they work in some type of like tire pile or a satellite dish in season 3 somehow.
Giant boulder.
Yeah, you know how like the bar is called the Banshee, and it's their Easter eggs. Like, I really want them to have something like, you know, like the satellite dish. Or
just have 3 guys with a big boulder and they're dragging it.
just pulling it with a rope. Somebody's got a satellite dish on a cart. It's a big bowl. Mm-hmm. Anything, literally anything, would be hilarious. I'll take somebody named Baba Voss too.
Like, right?
Oh, would you see Baba? Yeah, I saw Baba.
I just want to see Kofun walking by. Oh.
Speaking of Archie, did you guys see his trailer for his new Gran Turismo? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's looking good over there.
Yeah.
He's working with Orlando Bloom, a bunch of big names in that movie. Good for him. Good for Archie. All right, that's it for season 1. Thank you guys. If you're brand new here, if you found us because of Warrior, please make sure to subscribe. Hit that notification bell. We were doing weekly recaps for season 1 and season 2, and then season 3 drops on June 29th. So make sure Father June 29th is season 3 of Warrior. So make sure you're watching that along with us. We will be doing weekly recaps of each episode going forward. All right, everybody. Thank you. Matt Vader, say goodbye to the people, and let's crack open.
Finish your White Claw.
He's not even buzzed. Look at him.
I'm never drinking one of those again. That was trash.
I'll make you guys a drink.
Okay, right on. And Jude, say goodbye to the people.
Bye, guys. Thanks for... Whatever.
You paused.
Thanks for... you know what? Nothing.
Katie, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people. And I want to thank Jonathan Tropper for messaging us about that stuff. It's always cool to like hear the filmmakers actually like tell you like the thought process behind a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. And he may have been well actualing us, but at the same time, like, it's very appreciative because I love learning about that stuff.
You love well actualing.
Yes, mm-hmm. indeed. Well, it runs in the filmmaking community. So obviously.
Game recognizes game.
game recognizes game, exactly. But we are diehard Tropper fans, so hopefully we get a season 4 of Warrior also. But if not, whatever project Tropper works on in the future, we'll definitely check out.
Yeah. He's over here like, God damn it.
He's like, what have I done?
Shit. All right, everybody. Thank you for watching the show. Really appreciate it. Don't forget to comment below your favorite moment from the season finale or the penultimate episode. Cheers. And we will see you next time. Stay salty. Hey guys, if you like this podcast, don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel and comment below on your favorite video as well. That goes a long way with helping us boost our channel and get out there in front of more people. And it lets YouTube know that we're doing something right. And if you want to catch us live, we go live 2 times a week, once on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific time and on Tuesdays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time. So join us there in the chat. We will see you on the live stream. Stay salty.